But what we're talking about this morning is something called types and anti-types. If you look in your bulletin, you'll notice that in the sermon outline part, there's a column that lists properties of Joseph on one side and properties of Jesus on the other. A type is the shadow of something in the Old Testament of something that is going to happen in the New Testament. An anti-type is the New Testament event. This is an interesting literary technique, and it's something that's almost impossible to do for humans. And you got to realize that the time difference between Joseph and Jesus is huge. And as we look at some of these comparisons, the question is, how in the world could there be such a positive comparison, such a symbiosis? By the way, on the back of your bulletin, I've got another type and a type for you, and that is Noah and the flood and the connection of the church. So you can spend some time in your private study this week looking at that other example of types and antitypes. So let's look at the comparisons, and then we'll come back and make the application to our own lives. One of the things that was true of Joseph was that he was loved by his father. In Genesis 37 and verse 3, the Bible says, "Now Israel loved Joseph." As a matter of fact, he loved him more than all of his other sons. And that, of course, caused some difficulties, but that love of his son was also true of Jesus. The antitype is that in Matthew 3 and verse 17, a voice from heaven came and said, "This is my son whom I love." Well, that's an interesting comparison, isn't it? You say, well, that's not so remarkable. All fathers love their sons. Yeah, that's right. If we stopped right there, that wouldn't be much of an issue, but let's keep going. One of the things that was true of both Joseph and Jesus was they both were involved with being shepherds. In Genesis 37 and verse 2, we're told that Joseph was tending the flocks. And in John 10, beginning with verse 11, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep." We're going to come back to that a little bit later, but you got to understand that that's a little less likely to be an object of chance, because obviously in the days of Jesus, not everybody was a shepherd. Another interesting comparison, and this just gets more and more involved, is that Joseph was despised by his brethren. Genesis 37 and verse 4, the Bible says his brothers hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. You ever had a situation where somebody hated you so much they couldn't give a kind word to you? We know why in that case. But the antitype is given to us in John 1 and verse 11. The Bible says, Jesus came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Well, this is getting more complex, isn't it? It's more hard to believe that this is just a coincidence. Another thing is that Joseph was sold into slavery. In Genesis 37 and verse 28, his brothers pulled Joseph out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels. 20 shekels. Keep that in your head for a minute. They sold him for 20 shekels to the Ishmaelites who took him to Egypt. How much was Jesus sold for? Matthew 26 and verse 15. They counted out to him, your King James Bible says 30 coins. You know how much 30 coins is? 20 shekels. Wow. Now we're beginning to see a parallel that is almost impossible to believe could happen by chance. The antitype is very clear. But in both cases, they loved their brethren. Joseph loved his brothers in spite of what they had done to him. In Genesis 42 and verse 24, Joseph loved his brothers so much that when he saw them, when he realized their situation, the passage says he turned away from them and began to weep. He cared that much. And of course, the antitype is very clear, isn't it? John 15, 13, greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life for his friends. God so loved the world. We're familiar with those passages. Another interesting thing about the type and the type is that both Joseph and Christ were tempted. Genesis 39, beginning with verses 7 through 10, we see Joseph being seduced by Potiphar's wife. And in Matthew 4, beginning with verse 1, Satan takes Jesus up and says, here, look what I'll give you. And he offers him everything. And in both cases, both Joseph and Christ, they suffered for doing the right thing. When Joseph did not give in to Potiphar's wife's attempt at seduction, Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, Genesis 39 and verse 20. And of course, we all know that Jesus suffered. 1 Peter 2, beginning with verse 21, says, Christ suffered for you. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. Look at the parallel. And the other interesting comparison is the purpose of life in these two individuals. In Genesis 45, beginning with verse 5, we're told that Joseph told his brothers, it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. You know, I don't know whether you've ever thought about it or not. But if we believe that God has a purpose for every life that exists, then there are things that happen always that we might not understand that have a purpose in God's plan. I couldn't help but think this last week, I visited my son, Tim, a baby born blind, with cerebral palsy, muscular dystrophy, and mentally challenged. How could there possibly be any positive thing that could come from that? But this has been true of every place where Tim has been. One of the nurses came up to me and she said, can you tell me what church you go to and what you believe? And I said, well, yes, I can. I said, well, she said, well, your son has been talking to me about Jesus. And she said, I can barely understand him. The COVID has left Tim almost unable to talk, but he is able still to share with his nurse the message of Jesus. I'm so proud of my son. His daughters, his sisters, my daughters are coming up to visit him. And I know they're going to be appalled at his physical condition, but his spiritual condition is right on target where it's always been. I'm sure as Joseph sat in that pit, as he saw himself sold into slavery, as he found himself in jail because of an accusation that was untrue, it must have crossed his mind, why is this happening to me? But the antitype is fear. John 6, beginning at verse 57, Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of life. Jesus and what he went through had an eternal purpose. In both cases, both Joseph and in Jesus' situation, they were found to be alive when they were thought to be dead. In Genesis 45, beginning with verse 3, we find that incredible confrontation between Joseph and his brothers. His brothers, of course, assumed he had been killed as a slave. But he says, I am Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And in Luke 24, verse 46, we're told that Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. In both Joseph and in Christ, they became a slave to help others. In Genesis 45, verses 6 and 7, but God sent me ahead of you to preserve you a remnant on the earth and save your lives by a great deliverance. I don't know whether you realize it or not, but God can provide a great deliverance through you. A great deliverance sometimes happens in ways we don't understand. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. Neither am I. I'm a speaker. I'm not a preacher. And it's important to understand that good things happen in spite of us, not because of us. Because God is alive and well on planet Earth. And of course, we're all familiar with the anti-type in Christ, Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And he goes on and says, I will give rest to your souls. Notice he didn't say he's going to give rest to your body. He said he's going to give rest to your soul. That's an important distinction. And we've got two more. Joseph was pardoned by his brothers. He pardoned his brothers. In Genesis 15, verse 21, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. What do you see there? Joseph saying to his brothers, don't be afraid, I will provide for you and your children. You know, the world today would not suggest doing that. Can you imagine what would happen in today's world, in our secular society, if somebody had done to a person what was done to Joseph? See, what I can see is somebody saying, oh boy, are you going to get yours now? Watch this. That's the way the world treats forgiveness. I've seen husbands, I've seen wives that had that attitude of forgiveness and destroyed their marriage in the process. Joseph had the strength to forgive his brothers when they had done something just unbelievably despicable. You ever had anybody say to you, well, I just can't forgive so-and-so. Why not? Well, you know what they did? I don't care what they did. Are you a Christian? And the antitype, Colossians 2, verse 13 and 14. When you were dead in your sins, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. Can you accept that? Can you believe that? You say, oh, you don't know what I've done. No, I don't. I don't want to. I've shared more of my life with you than you may have wanted to hear. But one of the reasons I do that is to get you to understand that there's nothing you could ever do that would put you outside of God's forgiveness. What a wonderful God we have. And the final type, antitype relationship here is that in Genesis 41 and verse 57, the Bible says, and all countries came to Egypt to buy grain. You see, Joseph was honored by earthly nations and visited by them all. And one day all nations will turn to Christ. The prophecy of Isaiah 2, verses 2 and 3, and Isaiah 49, and the entire book of Revelation, is that all nations will ultimately come to Christ. What are the lessons for us? You know, I think it's important for us to understand that knowing God's word and understanding God's word is one of the greatest encouragements we can have. One of our problems is that if we get discouraged, if we lose faith, if we get involved in a pity party, it's because we don't understand God's word. And perils like this that involve some study give us that capacity. Let me point out maybe 10 lessons here. I don't have time to discuss them all. First of all, man has not changed. Man has not changed. I mean, you see anything horrible happening in the world today? Like these brothers? I mean, how can you pick up a newspaper, turn on your television, and not realize men are just as ugly and despicable as they've ever been? That one's easy. But God is alive and well on planet Earth. That was true then, that is true now. And if you stop and you look at the lives of your brothers and sisters in Christ, if you look at your own life, you'll see reasons for what has happened, and God is active. But it's also important to understand that God's word is important. Why do we study a type-antitype relationship? Why do we have an Old Testament and a New Testament? Why are we discussing Samuel and Kings and Chronicles and Wednesday night? Why are we doing that? Because God's word is important. And types and antitypes are rampant throughout Scripture. And for those who are students of God's word, that is incredibly encouraging. We need to study. If you haven't picked up after the pandemic coming to study God's word, let me encourage you to start. Start as we look at the reason for the class Richard's been holding for us this coming Wednesday night. And through the Wednesday nights after that, hopefully we can get our Sunday morning class going soon. And Sunday night. Another lesson for us is that Jesus is 100% human. We know he's 100% God, but we can also see that like Joseph, he went through everything that humans can go through. You look at Joseph's life, you say, how could anybody go through what Joseph went through and survive? How could anybody go through what Jesus went through and survive? But understand that there are many other lessons here. One other lesson which I hope radiates to you is that the Bible is not a human book written by humans. Do you understand how many years there are between the account of Joseph and the account of Christ? And look at all the things we went through. I mean, you may have said, how could you spend all that time on all those examples? Because the number of examples convinces us of the validity of God's word. Knowledge of the Old Testament is important. Galatians 3, beginning of verse 23, says, before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, by the Old Testament, locked up until faith could be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, a schoolmaster, that we might be justified by faith. Now the faith has come we are no longer under the supervision of the law. We are blessed to be living today and not in the days of the first century. I tell you, so many times in my private study, I just thank God, thank you for letting me live in the year 2021. Just think of the comforts we have. Here we are. It's 90-something degrees outside, and we're in a comfortable building. What a blessing. But more important, here we are not having to worry about salvation. Not having to worry about what our relationship should be to our husbands and wives. Not having to worry about food. We've just gone through a pandemic in which there was a shortage of food. Did you notice what's in the fellowship room as you came in today? And those of you who are on Zoom, the fellowship room is full of bread. Why? Because throughout the pandemic, this congregation has addressed the needs of the people of this area. We have served 100 or more families who might not have enough to eat, except for God's blessings present today through the abundance of where we live. Are there problems in America? Yes, there are. Do we have difficulties with disease? Oh, yeah. But imagine the difficulties they had with the pandemic at the time of Christ and the time of Joseph. Do we have problems with people hating God and afflicting us because of it? Yeah. But imagine Joseph living in Egypt, which worshiped the Pharaoh, and serving as a slave in a prison run by people who are antagonistic to God. We need not neglect what God has given us. We need to understand that man's lot has not changed. We need to be willing to be sheep, willing to be led. You know, our society is so arrogant and so self-righteous and so ignorant that suggesting that somehow being willing to be led by what God says in his word is looked at as being an archaic myth. And that's one of the reasons we'll have our special class on Wednesday night. We need to not neglect knowing Christ and being able to read the Bible to give us that knowledge. You say, well, how do I get to know Jesus better? By studying his word, by looking at the kind of type antitype relationship that we have talked about here, by simply allowing our minds to be saturated with the teachings of Jesus. Let me tell you something. I don't think a week comes by that I don't read Matthew 5, 6, 7. What are Matthew 5, 6, 7? The Sermon on the Mount. Dealing with my attitudes. Dealing with my weakness. Dealing with the superiority of the system that God has given us. And we're suffering. Suffering for what is right. But God protects us. See, Jesus knows what it's like. He knows what it's like to be a slave. He knows what it's like to have pain. Every time I partake of the communion, I just look at my hand. Can you imagine driving a nail into that? Inconceivable. And God didn't have to do that. Jesus didn't have to do it. He could have called out 10,000 angels and wiped out the Roman army. But he chose to allow himself to be berated. And God will pardon us. He will forgive us. He will help us. So what is your reaction to this story? What is the reaction to this type, antitype relationship? Are you saying to yourself, I don't want to be a sheep. I want to be a leader. Really? You probably won't say that publicly. Probably nobody in this room says that. Maybe nobody on Zoom says that. But we need to say to the world, being a sheep is a blessing. Being a sheep is a wonderful thing. So what is your reaction to this story? Do you say, well, I just don't believe that. Really? You're going to deny all of history? You're going to deny what you have seen in the lives of people who follow God's word? You don't believe the historical records of Joseph and Egypt? You say, I don't know enough. Let me ask you something. Do you think Joseph's brothers understood what had happened to Joseph? Do you think they knew enough? They knew one thing. They knew Joseph had saved them. And all you need to know is that when you obey Jesus, he will save you. Now his brothers could have said, well, thank you. I don't want this stuff. I'm going back home. You say, well, that would be pretty stupid. Yeah, I may suggest to you it's not too smart with all the evidence we have and with all we've been given to reject what God has provided for us. Let me encourage you to think about the words that Carl has chosen for us to sing as a closing song about our relationship to Christ and our role as sheep. If you're needing help here, or if you're on the web and need help, we are here to serve you, to help you in any way we can. As we hold each other's hands up, as we attempt to serve God, we want to be your servant as much as we can possibly do that. So if you're subject to the invitation of Jesus, we urge you to come, or if you're on Zoom, to let us know how we can help you. Let's sing together about the shepherd.